from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2009 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, April the 9th, 2009. C.R. Oliver is the speaker of the service, teaching on The Place of the Saints.
Brother Oliver, get your podium and come and teach us this evening.
I want to tell you that I'm associated with about six books on the book table. And I want to thank you, Brother Miller, even before you knew me, of seeing the value of those books. As they have materialized through time, you've incorporated them into your book sales. And I want to thank you for that. Not just in the way of that, but the fact is that they are my heart. And my very being is like this camp is a reflection, brother, of your heart and of your being. When people look around, they see you everywhere. And they see the work that you and your wife have done here over time. It's an imprint on the earth of who you are. And these books are the same way with me. I'm a part of them. And when you read them, you're not reading something that I'm putting out there for material gain. I don't take one penny for the writing of them or the distribution or anything else. Matter of fact, we plow everything back into that ministry that we might increase it and give books to, in Spanish and in German to other people in other nations and make a donation for them. Brother and Mrs. Davis handle our Spanish versions of our books for us, and have just returned from Peru, where ministers were distributed copies of them. So we're so happy to have that. And I want you to bless something. Day before yesterday, on Monday, we issued a check for $18,000 to go to Cambodia to build three churches, one of which is in a place I can call Shuk, the other two I can't pronounce. But I want you to spend tonight, well, just stand if you will, and join with me, and that money should be arriving sometime today, and their time coordination. And I want you to bless that the souls that will come out of these buildings, these are going to build buildings, $6,000 each for the materials, and the labor will be done by those who are a part of the congregation. People who are poor and in a communist country, I want you to reach out with me in the name of Jesus and bless those, that offering as it goes into their ministry. Yes, Lord. We just receive these prayers up to heaven. We know, Lord, that when the saints pray, that there's a difference. Thank you, Jesus. Gosh. We just take charge, Lord, of each of these places where they're planted. And we believe that those elements of darkness, Buddhism, and all of the things that are of the false God will be destroyed in the midst of them. And that they who are Christians in a hostile environment of communism will be protected not only as they build, but Lord, as they worship, they have freedom. Lord, that many people will come to know you. It is not permissible for us to go there and preach the gospel. But it is permissible for the natives to preach the gospel. So bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, amen. You know, I just want to get down close to you. I want to just tell you that when you're invested in some of these books, there's strange things that bring those books out. Some strange things. 22 years of looking into the Song of Solomon, and then came Solomon's Secret, first 30 days was all it took in Sons of Zadok. I didn't have a thing in the world to do with that book. None of it. Because the Lord said about mid-December, I want you to write. It was between semesters. We were teaching. I had to be back in classroom around 15th of January. So mid-December, all the way, just for 1 month, solid all the way through Christmas, without any hesitation, the Lord gave that. And I'm glad to be associated with it. I had to go back and reread it this past month because I didn't know what was in it. You know? That's right, because you know, sometimes you just write under the Spirit and there are things inside there that minister back to me. I really wanted to minister that to you. And may do it yet. Because that's based on three major areas in the Scripture. Over in Samuel, 1 Samuel 2 and 4, where it talks about Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. And I compare Eli, when he did not discipline his sons who were in the ministry, and caused the curse to be brought down upon them, and the loss of the great loss that they had in the birth of Ichabod, in the death of their father, and of many people in Israel, and they just chaos, lost the ark. Everything came about because of the disobedience of that. And that kind of thing, that Eli type of lax compromise, inability to correct, no requirement of repentance, is what has taken over our churches. And the end result will be the same. There will be an Ichabod born. There will be the loss of everything. I mean, a complete loss, disaster. And it looks as if God has lost the battle, but He hasn't. Because He has come back to the truth and caused His people, when they return, to return in truth. Right? Amen. And when Ezekiel asked the Lord, why are we in captivity? The Lord showed him in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel. I may have to preach this yet. In the 44th chapter of Ezekiel, the Lord showed him and said, the reason you're in captivity started back there in the temple. Every disaster is a spiritual problem that hasn't been solved before God. Mm-hmm. Every economic difficulty in the world is caused by a spiritual equation that has not been resolved before God. And we have an economic problem in this country today because of a spiritual issue. It has not been resolved, but it will be. God will out on this business. You know, when He turned to Ezekiel, He said to him in the 44th chapter, yes, Ezekiel, I'm going to give you Superman X-ray eyes, and you're going to look right into the problem. And there they were, in the temple that was destroyed and brought down, and he had fled with the group and the multitude, and they're in Babylon together, and they're in slavery, and it's a mess. Everything lost. And he sees the priests, the high priests, worshiping in the temple, offering the sacrifices, giving out the various and sundry offerings in the feast days and all of that, and then going down to the apartment, bowing down before an idol, weeping for Tammuz and all of the kinds of things that are there. And he said, that's why, that situation there is why all of this other happened. And in this book, I apply that to the 21st century church. Because I want you to know they're covering all the bases in this believer-friendly situation. And they're opening the doors for demons and doctrines of demons and worship of idols of all kinds. And God will out, you know. The Lord spoke to him and he said, I want to kill him. Let's just go ahead and get rid of them, Lord. Let's do what you wanted to do when Moses was having his trouble. The Lord said, let me just have a shot at them, and we'll just start all over again, Moses. And Moses said, oh my God, no, don't do that, because of what the people around us will say, that God failed. And he interceded for the people. Well, there they were. And the only solution looked like, let's do away with all of this. Well, I want you to know it was actually done away with back in Shiloh when they lost the ark back there, when God said, I'm not going to honor genealogical Levi high priests anymore. I'm going to come about with those who worship me and respect me. I'll allow them to worship me and I'll respect them. Otherwise, it's no gain. Yeah. You know, when Ezekiel asked the Lord, "Lord, what shall we do with it?" He said, go ahead and let that majority keep on worshiping and doing just like they're doing. They ministered to the people before. And when they ministered to the people, they had to have somebody to bear them, had to have somebody marry them, had to have somebody to counsel with, had to have somebody to carry on the feast and all of these observances and things. They had to have somebody that would act as sort of an intermediary between them and the outside world, judge between families and situations and problems and all that. Let them have the problems. Let them continue in that ministry. But let only the sons of Zadok minister unto me. Wow, was that a cleavage. And that means, my friends, that those who are ministering today may not be the ones who, like the sons of Zadok, taught the difference between the clean and the unclean, the pure and the impure, that which was holy and that which was not holy. There's a division. And I've gone into churches. Listen, I'm not pastoring any church. Listen, I have the chance to roam around and listen to what's being said. It's galling. When I come out, I want to go, "Ugh." I want to say, "Oh God, don't let that get on me." I want to walk out. Listen, I spent exactly 2.5 minutes in a church the other day. I walked in, got the bulletin, you see, that's the program without the Holy Ghost, and I got the smile from the greeter, "Oh, we're so glad to have you, it's your first visit," and I looked at them and I thought, wow. We sat down, we looked around and saw the banners there with Rick Warren and all that purpose-driven junk, and we got up and started walking out, and they said, "Well, that was a mighty short visit," and I looked at the greeter, you know, and I said, "Yeah. You all made the decision and I made mine." Listen, that lady right back there, you said in the prayer meeting today, it is time for the believers to stand up, be heard, understood who they are, and the world understand who they are. That's a rough interpretation, but I do believe that's what you meant. Well, this book is also around Zechariah. And it shows Joshua, the high priest, with soiled and dirty clothes. He's unable to do anything about it because, you see, if he could have, he'd have washed them himself. But by ministering to the people, he got excrement on him. The crap that was in the church was on him. And I want you to know we have a ministry that the crap that's in the church is all over. And unless God says, "You stand here and tell His messengers, you remove those dirty clothes, they can't stand before me." We are this far from losing every aspect of the truth. It's closing the gap. Now, I'm talking off the cuff. I didn't prepare for this. But I want you to know, I believe we have to get a grip on understanding that. The Lord didn't give me that book for to play with. I want you to know it's being taught in London, England right now. There's a movement of the sons of God in England that want to return to the truth. And that book, we ship carton loads over there, and that seminary is saying, "We require you to read the sons of Zadok." And that's why I had to go with it. Write that syllabus for them so that the teachers and the students would have something to workbook to work out of and give a question and answer for and have an examination and get a certificate. Boy, when they get through Sons of Zadok, they deserve a certificate. Amen. I remember when the Lord began to bear down on me in Impunto, that little book with the yellow cover back there. I was in Bogota, Colombia. The Lord woke me up one Wednesday morning. I was in rotation with another minister, and I taught on Monday, he taught on Tuesday, I taught on Wednesday night, and we tag teamed Thursday and Friday, what it wound up being. I mean, the Lord said to me, write it down. I reached for an envelope, on the back of an old envelope, wrote down a few. I was telling this to these ladies. I just thought you might be interested in this, so we can catch you up what they know. I wrote it on the back of an envelope, and believe me, there was more than about 15 little sentences there to give me a clue where to go, you know. And I began, I was going to minister to ministers that night. We had a room full. You see, in Bogota, there wasn't a little convention center or something we could go to. So they took all the cars out of a parking lot in a big parking garage, all the downstairs area that had cars in it, and they wouldn't let them park down there so that we could have a meeting. And that thing was filled up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move, and I heard prophecy coming out of a keyboard. You know, I believe music brings out some prophetic words. I believe we can see. And there was just prophetic word going out. And I preached that message, and I want you to know there were ministers that were being converted. There were people that had been church workers all their life. Listen, Charles Grandison Finney, when he started in 1823 and 4 and 5 and 6, he said that the majority of the clergy had no knowledge of conversion. They had not been converted themselves. Even the man who mentored him from Princeton University, and he would deny everything. Mr. Gale was frustrated. He wrote, I am sorry to say that I am the mentor of Charles G. Finney because he does nothing of what I teach him. It was 15 years that man came to a revival meeting and said to him, in tears in his eyes, he said, I thank God you didn't take one word of advice from me. I didn't know the Lord, and what I was teaching you was error. You would have been ruined had you done anything I mentioned. There's where we are, isn't it? I preached that in Punto, knowing where you ought to be, that there's a place called there, and you can be standing here and not there, and the blessing's over there, and you're going to miss it. Mm-hmm. How to listen to the voice of God. I told them about how I traveled to Romania, and how that God just showed me every step to go, every place to go, and what to say. And how God will do that. He has the right through the Holy Ghost to say, stop, stand right there. Amen. He has the right to say, turn to the left, or turn to the right, or go backwards, or stand there. Don't make a move. Don't speak a word. He has the right to say, look over there. There's somebody you need to minister to. You go there now. He has the right to do that because He's the Holy Ghost. And if I'm born into the kingdom of God, He is not only my master, He is my Lord and King and power and everything I need. He's all in all through Jesus. I want you to know that He'll bring you in contact with people. You will get to meet people. Listen, I prayed to God. Listen, in the book of Jude, it said, in the last days they will speak evil of God's dignitaries. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. There's bound to be some dignitaries around because you couldn't speak evil about them if they weren't here. Right? Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to miss the platform crowd. I want to not read the most famous books. I don't want to hear the junk that's being poured out, both in paper and pulpit. I want to know who the dignitaries are. Help me to meet the dignitaries, Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, I've met some. I've met some here. And I hope all of you are that. I hope that we can grow together in such a corporate spirit that the Holy Ghost can concertize us and say, you, you, you. We all move in that. My prayer yesterday, or day before now, yeah, or was it yesterday? It was yesterday. I can't remember. Brother McCants and sister have a condo they're renting here. And we went over there, and our prayer and concern was what? Three things. The first thing was that we would have a complete giving of self to one another. That's the way the saints were. You see, there was such communion. We pray, listen, we go to praying, Lord, give us a church. Give us a body like the early church. Well, if you want one, I'll tell you how it was. They were invested in one another. It mattered to them what happened to Jerry. It matters how she's treated. What doors are open for her. It matters to me. It should matter to me. When I get your little words of encouragement, I thank the Lord for them and steal the pictures off of them. And so I can send them. And thank God for the ministry of all of you. Every one of you here have ministry that you're involved with. And the Holy Ghost has the right to bring you into my field of understanding. And the same way with you. You are to me, you see, a blessing. You say, well, I'm glad to know him. Well, I'm glad to know you. You understand what I'm talking about? Is there someone more important than another in God's sainthood? Answer, no. No. We are ministers. The problem is the rabbis of redefinition have changed the definition of ministry. They made it to look like this. Collar turned around, jigger of whiskey in this hand, and a cigar in that one. That's minister. That's somebody you can throw rocks at. That's somebody that you can say evil things about. Yes, that's true. But that's not ministry. Ministry is when you do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do, when He tells you to do it, to whom He tells you to do it, the way He tells you to do it, using the words He tells you to do, and standing as He told you to stand. That's ministry. There may be just one opportunity, one thing that you are to do, and that when you are done, you have completed ministry. That unknown portion in the Old Testament known as the man of God. He didn't have a name one, but he was the man of God. He came in, he pronounced his word that came from God and moved on in history as anonymous and into oblivion. But not with God. Power came down and he did what God told him to do. And he was used. That was his ministry. Hallelujah. Say, when are you going to write another book? Well, I hope never, maybe. Because I don't want to write one. But I do want the Holy Ghost to come down on me as He has these others and cause that to hit the written page and then the affirmation of it by sending it all over the world. Thank you, Lord. I sat down to write The Regal Pair, Holiness and Righteousness. It came from preaching over in Newport News, Virginia. I was in the WOW Center there at Newport News. And I began to, the Lord gave me this message specifically for them. One at the 8 o'clock service and one at the 10:30 or whatever service it was. And you know what? They were both hard messages. One message was this. How would you like to come in on Sunday morning, you see? Totally, a total stranger in the pulpit. Nobody has ever heard him before. Even the pastor hasn't heard him. He's just going by faith, you know. There's 4,000 people out there. And, you know, their membership is so large, they got to have two or three services. And you've got them, you know, and the Lord says, preach this service. And I began to preach. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And I described a Pharisee as being a man who tithed all his money just right. He attended services every time he could. He had the sacrifices. He was looked upon as a judge in the gate. He was a man of respect in every circle. He believed in angels. He believed in hell. He believed in heaven. He believed in life after death. He believed in all of those things. You see, he believed correctly. And I said he would have been on the board of directors in most places, but Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to know that that church of God went... But some things rattled and changed. Why am I here tonight? Because the Lord wants to rattle some things. And He wants to do it through you. He wants to multiply this. One of the things we prayed about is that God's awakening would begin here, and that this matter of spiritual change that needs to shake an entire world could begin in this place. And the Lord said, it will. It will. Now, what part you play in that, let the Holy Ghost have. I got to the 10:30 service and they all began coming in. And I said to them, listen, my message today is different than I preached earlier this morning. My message today is from Hebrews, and it says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we began to talk about being holy. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, some shaking and rattling went on. Did you know that there were people who came into that service and that were in both services that were planted there by the Lord? They told me, some of them told me, they identified themselves, we've never been in this church before. God told us to come here and hear this message. That's the way I like it. Woo! That's the way I like it. If you're here, I want you to know, thank you. God has something that He wants to do with you. Well, I was invited back there very shortly thereafter, which was a grand mistake on everybody's part, because the pastor was gone and the associate pastor was there, and they sang and 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 gave me 12 minutes, you know, at the opening service. So I preached my 12 minutes and I turned to him and said, shall I go on? And he said the magic word, keep going. And you know what? I did till 12:30. Now the Lord had told me the night before in a prayer meeting, I was in the balcony, the congregation didn't even know I was there. I flew in that day, I went down where I was supposed to stay, I got all that in there, and I snuck in their prayer meeting on Saturday night. And the Lord said this, you tell the workers that work the front that the minute people start coming in, they're going to start falling in the Spirit. And tell them to be ready to minister. Well, the morning service started. I had my little 12-minute thing, you know, and he told me to go on. And then it happened. You see, that church is large enough that this crowd has to leave in order that the parking lot be vacant enough for the next crowd to come in. This crowd didn't leave. That crowd came in. The church was... And I want you to know that the Spirit of God began to hit them when they walked through the door, because, see, we were being obedient to the Spirit of God and the message of God was going out in just... Listen, under God, I've never in my life compromised a message. I do not care whether congregations like it or not. We shall see the kingdom of our God explode in these churches, or we'll see them die. This is too serious a business. Well, someone complained to the pastor when he got back. Who gave him the right to come here and take over? You know the way I figured? I got here the same way I can get out of here. Many a time I've been tested. Because, see, I'm going to write a book one of these days entitled Sermons You Never Hear on Sunday Because They're Bad for the Offering. And I guarantee you, we're at a place. There's a book over there called Sealed. It's a commentary on the entire Bible. It's 607 pages long. I didn't start to do that, but it just came out that way. And it's a commentary on every book in the Bible. And I think it has something for everybody. The Holy Spirit told me there are 5 years of preaching messages in that book. But they're compressed. And they are in such a state that if the Holy Spirit will take charge of that reader's life, he or she will see a magnification of stuff that is it is just maybe one sentence will become an entire message to their heart. Now, to prove that, shortly after that book was written, someone in Wales got a copy of it, a lady minister in Wales. And she put that book up on the bookshelf, brother. I mean, that's right where it's supposed to go. Got somebody gave me the book, here's where I put it. I got lots of them like that. Don't you? Boxes out in the warehouse of stuff I won't even read. They send me a book, and I look at it, and the Holy Ghost says, trash. Trash it goes. I hope you don't do that with mine. Because I'm going to seriously tell you, it is not trash. Now listen. She got that book. She got to one of those places about a month or two later where she was on Saturday and Sunday was coming and you got to have something to say. And she was praying, Lord, I've let everything get in the way. I've just ministered in your name all week. Now I've got to have something that I can say tomorrow. She went in and slammed the door of her study and the book fell off the shelf and hit her in the head. Fell on the floor. She said, did you want me to read that book, Lord? And he said, Nathan. Nathan. She opened it up to Nathan. She said, ooh, that's a message. So she wrote down that message and got it, made it look like hers a little bit, you know, the whole thing, just like it was. And she went and preached it. And she wrote me an email telling me all of this, saying, I want to tell you, I did not realize what preaching your kind of message will do in my church. Lord God, what a problem you have caused me. I'm telling you, God is going to cause some problems in these congregations. It's rising in a vehemence you cannot imagine. And when you begin to preach the truth, those who cannot hear it will not receive it. And you'll see a shaking like you haven't seen in your whole life. You never thought you'd see a mess like this from White House down to the local offices. But we've got a mess, and that's nothing compared to the huge spiritual mess we've got going on. Well, we came along after Sealed, and I nearly died. I'm telling you, I had open heart surgery, and everything was... went good for a few days, and then it started going down. And the devil tried to kill me. But the Lord had already told me, I want you to write another book. I want you to look in Romans, the first chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and tell me what are the same words that are in both chapters, and that's the title of the book. Well, there's only four words that are alike in those two chapters. One written to Israel, the other one written to the nations of the world, and Christians all over. We know that to be further extension of Israel, but here we go. Here's what it says, call to be saints. So I said, Lord, after I got up, after I was able to move a little bit, I was still in rehab last year even, trying to get enough strength to get back. Now I've got it, more than I need. You know how it is. Now I got to lose weight. My cardiologist looks at me and says, I want to see less of you. How can you do that? But call to be saints came out of that. And you might think, you say, well, where in the world, how in the world? I said, I don't know how in the world. I don't know how in the world these books have gotten in nation after nation after nation. I don't know how the Russian pastors are reading it in German in Budapest, Hungary. I don't understand why I'm known in Christ Church, New Zealand. I have no idea how in the world I met an Australian in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was standing there in the dining room having breakfast in a hotel. I didn't know anybody. I heard this Australian voice. And I went over to him and I said, you know, I want to introduce myself. I'm not a fat dinkum Aussie, but I like Vegemite. And he jumped straight up and he said, "My name is so-and-so." And I said, "I'm C.R. Oliver." And he said, "Oh, my God." He said, "I've just finished reading one of your books in Sydney. And the pastor said, I'm coming to the U.S. I'd have to get my own copy. He wasn't going to share his. And here I am holding your hand because I prayed on the plane. Dear God, put me in contact with this man. Talk to me about it. Tell me something that I don't know in those realms. I want to hear about it. You've all got experiences, but God's fixing to give you more experiences. That's a good old Texas term. He's fixing to do it. I didn't clear that with the ministries, but it's a prophecy. That's not where I intended to go. Can I just share with you a few things about saints that's in this book, Call to Be Saints? Can I do that? Yeah, whet your appetite a little bit. I don't care if you buy the book. I would appreciate it. It helps the brother here. But I want you to know this book is right now in the hands of a missionary in Mexico. He's doing both the syllabus and the book in Spanish because he wants to teach the pastors, about 180 pastors down there. He wants to teach the essence of these books. He wants them to have that knowledge. He's carrying them all the way through, many of them. You guys have seen pastors pick up the books, Sons of Zadok and the Solomon's Secret. And those are the ones in Spanish right now. And you know what it has done in the hearts of some of these pastors. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you because the truth is being spoken. Let me give you the essence of this book. Let me just read you a few chapter titles so you kind of get an idea of what's going on. The first chapter is "There Are Saints," so to speak. Saints are alive and well today. The second chapter talks about what God has deposited in the hearts of the saints. He has done so much. Let me tell you what, in your own heart, you just think about what He's given you in your heart, the revelation He's given you. Then you combine that with other saints and see what a tremendous repository of power that He's given to the saint body. And yet you ask somebody, "Well, are you a saint?" And they'll say, "Well, you know, I'm not Mother Teresa." No, but that's not the quotient, is it? The quotient is this. In the Old Testament, there is one word for both holy and saint. Did you know that? The word is Kodesh in the Hebrew. And wherever you see the word saint, you see the word holy because it's the same word, Kodesh. If you see the word holy, you can put it saint. So when you can think about around the throne of God, you hear this word, saint, 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 because he's saying holy, 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 holy. Every author in the New Testament knew Hebrew, thought in Hebrew, spoke in Hebrew, made his book in Hebrew, because they've now found Matthew, for instance, written in Hebrew. So here we are with Hebrew mind thinking Kodesh and writing Agios. So there's one word in the Greek for holy and for saint. So now we can translate it beautifully, like Cassiodoria de Reina did in 1567 when he was in Spain. He wrote a translation from the Hebrew into Spanish, Castilian Spanish, and he wrote these words. And Enoch said, see, the seventh son from Adam, in the pure language before Babel, in the language of God in heaven and earth, when man and heaven were communicating in exactly the same way without speaking in tongues, you see. He spoke these words. In the end times, he's looking now. And he said, he shall come with 10,000 of his what? No! Holiness ones. How important is it to be holy? There's a fellowship that only saints can have, chapter 3. You and I communicate on a level that other people can't communicate. We just started tonight. Well, I didn't give any introduction. I just began talking to you about holy things and about spiritual things. And the first thing you know, we were communicating. I wasn't missing any of you, were you? I haven't lost you on any of this, have we? No. Is it too deep for you? No. Are you uninterested? No. You are interested because the Holy Ghost brings about a communion by which we fellowship with one another supernaturally. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Another one is the inheritance of the saints. We are God's inheritance. I met a man just a few weeks ago. There's no way in the world I could have met that man any other way. I got just totally upset with a preacher. And I walked out in the foyer during a convention. This guy was blah, 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 and it's all stuff I knew wasn't right. And you can walk out on me too. I don't blame you. But no, you're not going there. I'm just playing with you because I'm back here. But I walked out into the foyer, and there was a black guy there by the name of Willis Canada. And you know, I got the privilege of meeting him. And I would never have had that had not I not obeyed the Holy Spirit and left that service and walked out in that foyer. And there he was standing at some kind of desk there or some table, a registration table, I believe. And I got to meet him, and he prayed for me a prayer. Man, he just got right on the inside and prayed for me. And then he gave me a copy of one of his CDs. He was a singer. And you know, he only sings songs that he wrote. And one of those songs, when I played it, I thought, "Dear Lord, I thank you for knowing Willis Kennedy." The song was entitled, "Help Me to Give You, Jesus, All That You Paid For." Think of that. Boy, that's the way a saint thinks. Aren't you glad to know people like that? My Lord, how rich we are. What an inheritance we have. What a deposit we have on the inside of us because we know each other. We fellowship under the Holy Ghost. Well, here's another one. Ministering. Do you know that the sons of Zadok were the only ones to minister to God, but saints are the only ones that can minister to other saints? That's right. God does not want you to be ministered to by the world and some of the past. Listen, it matters who touches me. It matters who gets involved in my life. It matters what they say. It matters what they pronounce over. Every single day of the world, when we finish our time of devotion together, I end with this prayer. In the name of Jesus, every dark thing, every spiritual deed or word or action from the dark world, from human or spirit, I send back to the sender anything that might be approaching my family or myself or my ministry, and I send it back to them 100-fold. It shall not come nigh us. Or there's protection for the saints. That's one of the chapters in the book. There's a chapter in here about the persecution of the saints. Unavoidable, inescapable. God said you're going to be persecuted if you're a saint. Well, we may be facing some of that soon. We need to know what's ours. The prayers of the saints. I spent two chapters in here. I preached the prayers of the saints. I preached the prayers of the saints. I preached the prayers of the saints for 3 solid days in Wichita, Kansas. I want you to know when they came to service, they looked at me and said, "Got me some more prayers for the saints." I want you to know why. Because they said when they took the prayers of the saints and put them in that bottle and pop that cork, man, when they poured out the prayers of the saints upon the earth in the book of Revelation, what was the result? Earthquakes, thundering, lightning. Boy, those prayers poured out upon the earth, and what happened? Boom! Now those are the old prayers. Think of what the new prayers are like. When you assemble around there and begin to pray, you think of the power when you get into the mainstream. Listen, we're not just in the business. Listen, you're not a saint by yourself. Every saint that has ever lived in the Old Testament and the New Testament and down through history is in my DNA. And I want you to know when I get in that stream, that prayer stream with those saints, I begin to feel the energy of thousands and thousands of them. My God said, "I will give unto the 1,000th generation them that love me." Woo! Isn't that something? My old great uncle that took me up in his arms in Abilene, Texas, when I was a bassinet size, imagine. He'd been an old saddle bronking preacher, old Baptist preacher, out in West Texas for many years. His modus operandi was simple. He just pulled out his 6-gun in the local bar, laid it down, and said, "Anybody object to me preaching?" Nobody objected. And church after church after church in Western Texas have the original pastor, James Kaz Oliver. James Kaz would come and sit beside me out on the front porch to relieve Mama a little bit of time so she could clean the house and rock that bassinet. She found him one morning. Everything was quiet, it wasn't. She said, "Maybe we'll check on Kaz. Maybe something happened to him because he was old." Had me up in his arms. She told me, a tear running down his eye. He said, "Lord, let this boy go where I could never go. Preach to the people that I could never preach to. Lord, let him be that one to reach a world." 53 countries later, having ministered there, never a one without a knowledge that I was in the prayer line of that man of God. Listen, it matters. Being a saint of God matters. It's time that we look to see who they are. It's time we had some, because the church is dying without them. The church has absolutely given them no occasion, given us no occasion to manifest those things that only the Holy Spirit can give to a saint, because they're holy men and women moved by a holy God. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want you to know what it is. The Spanish have it correctly when they say that He is the Espiritu Santo. He is the Spirit of holiness. When we're baptized in the Spirit of holiness and we come out on the other side of that, my friend, it's different than John Q. Public warming a bench in the average church. I don't have a forum in any congregation in the whole of our area where I can go and speak on the level that saints ought to be speaking on. Again, Charles Finney said when he came into Boston in 1836, he said, "The message that I preach cannot even be comprehended by those who hear me." Now listen, folks, it hasn't gotten better since then. You see, everything in hell has been against the saints and the move of God among them. Charles Finney preached before the days of the Civil War. The Civil War came and rose out of the darkness of the devil in order to keep the message of revival from Charles Grandison Finney from spreading. About the time Azusa Street poured, God poured into Azusa Street and it was heating up in the old U.S., and there were moving out in the Spirit of God throughout this nation, World War I. About the time that the move of God began to stir again, World War II. About the time of Charismatica and the move of God and all of these things, Vietnam, Iraq, one after another, anything to keep away from the move of God. But I want you to know, we're setting in motion tonight something that cannot be and will not be destroyed. We're moving to show a world, this is what a saint looks like. If it comes down to two witnesses in the street and they destroy them, we'll rise up again and say, "You just thought we were dead." This is nothing about what I'm going to preach on. Reading you the table of contents is not what I think is good preaching. But maybe you can have time. I talk about the rejoicing of the saints. And nobody can rejoice like saints. You know, most of the churches I go to now, they're trying to put constraints on you on every side. They don't want you to break loose. They don't want the Holy Ghost to move on you. They don't want John Q. Public running up and down the aisle screaming and people falling out and vomiting and all that kind of stuff going. They don't want any more of the move of the Spirit of God. Assemblies of God that used to be born in all of this now have denied it and will continue to deny it. More interest in perpetuation than they are in the propagation of God.
Amen.
They want perpetuation of their ministry. I talk about the patience and the faith of saints. Did you know that saints are the only ones can have faith? The rest of this stuff is a belief system that is not a faith. Because it says, you know, that it works, patience worketh to us to do what? Causes us to what? Huh? It does what to us? That's exactly correct. The persecution of saints, the protection of saints, the boldness of the saints. I want to tell you the covenant of the saints. Is that something worth preaching about? If I could preach to you tonight, it would be about that, the cohesiveness of the saints. I could preach to you about the saints as sons of God, and sons of Zadok. I could talk to you about the sheep saints. We only listen to one voice, and we only follow one voice, and we're not listening to this tangled voice of the world. C.G. Bevington, he wrote a book, kind of in absentia. Somebody else wrote it about him. I wrote it about it in my book, Sons of Zadok. To read C.G. Bevington, Marvelous Miracles. Here was a man back in the turn of the century. C.G., I don't know if y'all have it or not. We have it. We can supply it. C.G. Bevington would crawl into a hollow log up there in West Virginia. And he said, I just have to stay there about 7 days without getting out. Just to get the voices to quit. What's he going to do today when you hear voices that are speaking from God that are not God? You know, the missing thing in most of the churches, conventions, conferences is called the what? What is the missing gift? Discernment of the Spirit. Discernment of the Spirit. Not upward. And God doesn't. 7 nights, 6 nights, 5 nights, 4 nights of the gifts. You either got them all or you got none of them operating. I want you to consider that. That's a heavy statement. That is not something to just jump over. Because I've had people in compromising churches that have said, well, we may not have that, but we have these other gifts operating. Not from the Holy Ghost, you don't. I understand from my book that not all things attributed to the Holy Ghost are of the Holy Ghost. I learned somewhere that that's a death sentence. Blasphemy. I've had preachers tell me, looky here, you can't get to the place where you absolutely offend the Holy Ghost to where you have done the unpardonable sin. And I said, let me tell you something. If that were the case, then some of them I have seen were not real. And they're real to me. We're living in a time when the world needs to see a model and look upon a saint and say, that's a saint. Boy, acts like a saint, walks like a saint, talks like a saint, walks in the power of a saint, and he is a saint. Can I call you Saint? What's your first name?
James.
Saint James. That works, doesn't it? Saint James. What's your name? Saint Michael. How about, what's your name? Saint Jill. You know, we're going to have to be identified with who we are. And we're going to have to be who we are. Who we say we are. Right? Oh, bless the Lord. Well, it's a few minutes after 9. Well, you know, they say preach what you know, and maybe I've preached all I know. I don't know. Let me just give you a few little things in the first part of that book. Can I do it? I have it in front of me here, but I just want to give you a little whet. Can I do that? You're awfully kind. I know some of you are shaking your head, and others are saying, I'm not saying nothing, because I don't want to be there. But I'm aware of your situation. And I just want you to look in Revelation, if you will. Revelation 13, verses 6 and 7. Just look there with me a minute. You know, We sometimes get so wrapped in our theology, we forget how verses are put in the Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Are you aware that preachers read the Bible with a sermon in mind? I mean, they're looking for sermon material, okay? But now, how does that differ from the way you read the Bible? Do you just read the passages? Or does the Holy Ghost use that little element of revelation in your heart? Because you see, we misinterpret sometimes. Jesus said to Simon Peter, what? He said, I've got a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And what did he say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did he say back? Flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but you got that from somebody else, right? God the Father. That's right. Now what is the next verse after that was what? And upon this church, upon this rock, I will do what? I'll build my church. If you read it like this, upon the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need revelation every day. You want to know the difference between our churches and the early church? They expected new revelation every day. They expected it come new and fresh every day. They lived in the saint's power. Well, I want you to read with me, with revelation in your heart, a word from John's revelation. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme His name, His tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, what's the next verse? What is the next word? Somebody read it right loud. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to what? How do you interpret that? I know how your theology wants to cram around on it, but I just want to ask you a question. How do you interpret that other than the literalness of it? I can't get away from the fact that we are in a battle, and there is one thing the beast has in mind. That's to overcome you, the saint. He doesn't care too much about John Q. Public Normalized, just Christianity light, theology light. He's not interested in that. But you, if you stand as a saint, you are a target. Yes. And everything from hell, everything from darkness, every demon is directed to one thing. What?
This is the end of part A of this CD. Please play part B. Thank you.